The Lord, saints, so good to be gathered together into the Lord's name.
Amen.
We're here and He's making His home in our hearts.
Amen.
So today our goal and our burden is that just that the Lord would press on in us.
Amen.
We would press on in the Lord.
Amen.
That we would be more of His abode and He would be more of our abode.
Amen.
We're going to give a brief introductory word, but I'll give you a forewarning now. At least half the time today will be our sharing to one another.
Amen.
So you can kind of begin to consider if you might feel to say something about your experience with the Lord. It could relate to migration, to pursuing the truth, to the God-ordained way, to just somehow working it out in the midst of your situation. This will just be a good time of encouragement and inciting one another to love the Lord more.
Amen.
And to pursue the Lord more.
Amen.
So sort of a brief history. We began meeting kind of in this way roughly twice a year since winter of 2007, but the burden predates that by several decades. I'll just read you a brief excerpt from Brother Lee's messages to the working saints. His burden was that we'd be saved from a situation of dormancy. He says, "In this training for the working saints, I have a heavy burden. Tonight, we want to consider the relationship between the working saints and the new way in the Lord's recovery.
Amen.
The working saints are the backbone of the church.
Amen.
When a man has trouble with his backbone, his whole body is in trouble. The backbone is a very important part of a man's body. In the same way, the working saints are very important in the new way in the Lord's recovery."
Amen.
I just appreciate, you know, this is not sort of a separate or distinct group on which the church is laboring, like the young people or the college students. Rather, quite the opposite is the case. This is the most integral part of the church.
Amen.
This is the church laboring for the work.
And so
the burden is not that we do something, some sort of separate work, but that we take the lead to enter into whatever the current burden is.
Amen.
The burden is that we would take the lead to enter into migration.
Amen.
Enter into gospelizing, truthizing, and churchizing America.
Amen.
Enter into reading the life studies.
Amen.
Enter into being constituted with the truth.
Amen.
So we're not doing a work here. We're just being constituted with the word.
Amen.
And you know, the backbone from a medical standpoint is particularly crucial when it comes to movement. If someone has a weak backbone, the movement of the entire body is quite limited. Even you could suffer an amputation and you could still move. You could even suffer two amputations and still move. But if your back is broken or not working, you're completely paralyzed. The body cannot move without a functioning backbone. So Brother Lee's burden was that this group of working saints, whatever age you ascribe to that, 25 to 50, or if you're over 50 and you're still working, I guess you still qualify. But this group of saints would rise up to bear the burden of God's move in the church today.
Amen.
And I was enjoying in the context of this conference, you know, in the first message we saw that God's move is a fourfold move. Firstly, to recover the priesthood of the gospel to the fullest extent.
Amen.
Secondly, to recover the home meetings to cherish and nourish the new ones.
Amen.
Thirdly, to recover the perfecting of the saints unto the work of the ministry.
Amen.
And fourthly, to recover the prophesying for the building up of the church.
Amen.
So this is God's move, but it has a direction. It has a certain goal, and that goal in and of itself is threefold as well.
Amen.
Number one, to build up the body of Christ.
Amen.
Number one, to prepare the bride of Christ.
Amen.
And number three, to bring in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
So our begetting, perfecting, our nourishing, our prophesying is for the preparation of the bride.
Yeah.
It's for the building up of the body.
Yeah.
And it's for the bringing in of the kingdom.
Yeah.
And you know, Brother Lee actually shared something quite similar in that same book, in the next chapter. He said, "To grow up into the head in all things is to have Christ increase in us in all things until we become a full-grown man."
Amen.
Whether the church can arrive at this condition or not depends on the working brothers and sisters.
Amen.
Perhaps you would say, "I am putting all the burden on your shoulders." That is right, because you are the backbone. The weight of the whole body is supported by the backbone. So I appreciate it so much, his balance here. The goal is not just to go out and do so many things, save so many people, establish so many churches. The goal is to grow up into the head.
Amen.
That is the first and foremost goal.
Amen.
The goal is not just to be active, but to be living and active.
Amen.
So Brother Lee is so balanced here in his word, and I just appreciated personally, my wife and I recently moved to Lubbock, Texas. We went from Houston, which is a church of well over 500, to a church in Lubbock, which is 15 or 20 saints. But on top of 15 or 20 saints, every meeting we have 30, 40, 50 college students, very few of whom are church kids or grew up in the recovery, the majority of whom have just kind of been funneled into the church life by enjoying the Lord. And so as you can imagine, there's a lot to do around Lubbock. So we have a Monday night coordination. Tuesday night, sometimes we have a group of brothers. Wednesday night, we have the prayer meeting followed by some irregularly 15 brothers coming over. Thursday night, we have a group meeting with 15 to 20 to 30 college students. Saturday evening, sometimes we visit the saints. Lord's Day morning is the meeting, and then Lord's Day evening, we have a ministry meeting on campus just to speak the ministry to 70, 80, 90 college students. But in all this doing, I was convicted and reminded, am I building up the body of Christ? Is Christ being worked into me, and am I dispensing Christ into these students? I was just convicted and just reminded once again, we can't be caught up in the outward move without having a direction. The direction of all of our service and all of our living and all of our personal and corporate church and Christian life is for the building up of the body. Amen. It's for the preparation of the bride. Amen. It's for the bringing in of God's kingdom. So anyways, maybe we can begin to consider what some others would share. John Pang is going to share a little bit as well, and then we'll open the time for all the testimonies from the saints.
I'd like to begin as somewhat of a continuation from the last Working Saints gathering at the Memorial Day conference. And in that gathering, there was given a list of about 10 points. And here in Northern California, we've had a refined list of 10 points. And this kind of summarizes the move, I would say, in Northern California among the Working Saints, and actually I would say the move in Northern California in general. And I was quite encouraged from this conference that not only in these 10 points do you see the move in God's ordained way with the begetting, the nourishing or feeding, and then the perfecting, and also the prophesying for the building, you can also see the direction of God's move, in that this move is bringing us in the direction, as our brother David just shared, of the building up of the body of Christ, and of the preparation of the bride, and of the bringing in of the kingdom. So you don't need to write these points down. These are from norcal100days.org. So for those out of town, you can find these points here. I'll just read them quickly. I believe some of our testimonies will be on some of these points. So number one, call upon the Lord deeply and affectionately for 2 or 3 minutes after rising up. Amen. Two, masticate 2 or 3 scripture verses thoroughly and joyfully every morning. Contact God sincerely with petitions and thanksgivings 2 or 3 times a day. Peruse 2 or 3 chapters of the scripture consistently and persistently each day. Five, read 2 or 3 life study messages carefully and engagingly each week. Six, participate in 2 or 3 meetings of the church regularly every week. Seven, prepare diligently to share 2 or 3 minutes prophecy on the Lord's Day. Eight, blend with 2 or 3 saints as vital companions to intercede and bear fruit corporately. 9. Devote 2 or 3 hours cumulatively per week to contact and visit people for the gospel. 10. Shepherd 2 or 3 unbelievers or believers steadfastly with the burden and patience all the time. So you can see that these 10 points are an encouragement to us to practice the God-ordained way as God's move. And they also have the direction of bringing us into the building and also the preparation of the bride through the growth in life. So I would say the recent speaking among the Working Saints, we have these monthly perfecting meetings, and then we also had a recent Working Saints conference. The burden very much has been on the life practices for the growth in life. And of course, from the previous messages, we see that this growth in life brings us into, or even the growth in life is the building up of the body. And the growth in life is also the preparation of the bride. So recently, the speaking has been very much on these vital life practices, and that these practices should not just be outward doings. They should not be merely outward activity or outward, I'm reaching for the motion without emotion. Right? This is something that was given to us by our brother Minoru recently, that many of these practices may have become old. Our calling on the Lord, our prayer reading the Word, these practices should bring us into an intimate, personal, spiritual, affectionate relationship with the Lord.
Amen.
And this kind of relationship with the Lord ushers us into the preparation of the bride and are essential for our growth in life, for the building up of the body.
Amen.
So at this point, we'd like to open up this time to testimonies concerning these 10 wonderful points, and also in any other experiences that you may have that would be an encouragement to the working saints to pursue in this way,
Amen.
In this direction for the Lord's move in His recovery.
Amen.
So at this point, we'd like to invite the saints that are not from Northern California to have an opportunity to give their testimonies. Oh, and also 2 minutes each. We do believe that there will be many that would want to testify, so the sisters at the piano are prepared to give a warning at the 2 minute mark.
So one of the brothers asked me to share. I'm from Honolulu. We moved there about... Waving? Hi. Okay, from Honolulu. We've been there about 7 years now. When we got there, the work was very small. Just a couple kids, you know, in classroom at night. Then people started migrating. So we got more kids, and then kids got older. So then we needed a children's meeting. So we put together a children's meeting. And then we got younger kids that needed a toddler's meeting. So we put together a toddler's meeting. And then we needed, we actually had a vital group training. So we were practicing the vital groups. So we had a vital group meeting that was taking care of kind of the older college students and the working ones. And then that one, you know, kind of got too big. So we split that up. And because there's too many kids making too much noise, we couldn't read. So we had to split the kids up. So then we could focus on the people that needed help. So basically our experience was just, you know, meeting the need as we went along. And it's been very good. The Lord has kind of blessed what's been going on. Anyway, so yeah, similar to the schedule that we shared, you know, Monday night would be a meeting, Tuesday night would be the prayer meeting, Wednesday, Thursday night would work, Friday night would be another meeting, Saturday a meeting, Thursday a meeting. So, you know, we kind of worked on our schedule so everybody could, you know, get fed. That was kind of the point, just meet all the needs. And so far, like I said, the Lord has been blessed. It's all been about the prayer and coordination with the saints who are burdens. And, you know, so we don't know what to do. We just pray, coordinate, and do, and then let the Lord work. And that's been our experience in Honolulu so far. I do want to plug a conference that we have in February. It's on our website, churchinhonolulu.net. It's February 10th, 11th, and 12th, and we're trying to have that every year. So if anybody's burdened for Honolulu, come visit, see what's going on. We'd love to see you.
So right now we'd like to open the time for all the saints to share. Especially those who have prepared something, we ask you to come to take the lead, and you can speak an encouraging word to one another. Amen. So saints, be quick. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I'm so happy to be able to share just a little bit of some recent experiences I've been having by spending time in the Word.
Amen.
So I found out that the Word is quite active. And in this particular verse in Ephesians 5, I never saw this before, 5:26, that he might sanctify her, cleansing her by the washing of the water in the Word. Now, I had never seen this verse in light of having a daily life of touching the Lord moment by moment. And what I discovered, actually, this is the word rhema, which has to do with his instant leading. So a lot of times, you know, we don't know what the Lord is speaking to us. And I feel like from my own recent experiences, it's because I don't pay attention to the sense within. I ignore it. I do whatever I feel like. I basically put myself on a throne. But I realize that the Lord wants to be enthroned in my being. Oh, he wants to be there to speak a word all the time, even in a constant way, not just an instant way. So what happens from this is that the church gets sanctified by the washing in this word.
Amen.
This is the instant speaking that actually sanctifies us.
Amen.
And what is pointed out is this is actually the imparting of the divine element into our being.
Amen.
So I may want to speak a harsh word to my daughter, but the Lord says, don't speak that word. Just give her a hug. And then if I follow the anointing, then more Christ gets into me. Then more Christ gets into the household.
Amen.
And everybody is headed up by the Lord's headship.
Amen.
Amen. Just considering my experience in this past times, I would say that my experience has just been one of a renewed, deeper seeking. You know, Brother Minoru often comes to us, and he did a really good job to tell us that we are not young adults, right? We are not young working saints. But sometimes, and I tell you the truth, sometimes I feel he should actually, I address myself as actually old working saints. Because in my experience, I felt like even though I'm young in age, my experience in the Lord has become something old. My practice has become something old. The meetings of the church has become old to me. And so, I feel like in my experience, I just like to testify of a deeper seeking before the Lord.
Amen.
When we call on the Lord,
Amen.
We should really touch the Lord.
Amen.
We should really get saved.
Amen.
When we pray, it shouldn't be perfunctory prayers.
Amen.
We should really be filled in the Spirit.
Amen.
Or as the hymn says, when we're in the Word, may His glory shine on every line. Really, you know, I've just been realizing there is no answers to any of our questions. How do you do this? How do you balance that? Really, the answer is the Spirit.
Amen.
We need to be filled with the Spirit.
Amen.
And so there's just a renewed seeking in me, and I feel in some of us I've been with, that we really just need to touch the Lord afresh.
Amen.
Our real need is to come to the Lord and call on His name. Get into His Word. Speak in a fresh way. Amen.
Amen. Recently, I enjoyed 1 Peter 2:5. You yourselves also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house into a holy priesthood. Oh, to offer living sacrifices, spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And just a little, yeah, I've been enjoying this so much for the past 3 years. I'm in my mid-20s. I've been at the same company, Google, for about 3.5 years. But what I've really enjoyed is that my church life is not separate from my work life.
Yeah.
I've actually learned, because of the encouragement of the brothers, other brothers working at Google, I was able to bring the church life at to Google. And I'll let them share more about the Bible study. One thing I really enjoyed is just pursuing with those in the twos and threes. And, you know, recently a brother and I, he's from Intuit, I'm at Google. We set up Tuesday, Thursday, afternoon Bible reading time with the new one that we were shepherding. And for a long time, we shepherded him and prayed, you know, read the Bible with him. It was really good. But then we still felt like we missed something. And that is actually prayer. We felt like we were winging the Bible reading with him too much. So we started praying before and after every time we read with him on the phone. And it's just so wonderful that, you know, even at work, we can be a testimony to others. And we can bring others to God. This is actually our first job. Our first job is not to be an employee. Our first job is to be a high priest, to be part of this holy priesthood. And
I just wanted to follow my brother. I was really touched with this very same thing, that all of us, our primary occupation is that we are priests to God.
Amen.
We may have a day job, but that actually is not our real job. Our real job is to be a priest, to bring God to man and to bring man to God.
Amen.
I also work at Google, and my concept was always that I try to do my work as quickly as possible so I have time for the church life after work. It was always something that I get done before so I could serve in the church life. But I think more and more I've just been appreciating that actually our being at work could be a time that is very useful to the Lord, especially for the sake of the gospel. And even more importantly, I've been touched recently that what a shame it would be if all these people that we spend so much time with every single day, that they wouldn't touch the Lord through our being there. I really, my prayer to the Lord is that my being on my team would be a blessing, even to all those that I work around with. Recently, again, we've been really enjoying this matter of the priesthood and what it means to be a priest. A priest is one who would present offerings that would be pleasing and that would satisfy God.
Amen.
One of these offerings is asked to offer saved sinners for God's satisfaction.
Amen.
So at Google, just to give a little bit of a report, about a year ago in February, we started to have a Bible study on campus. This was with the goal of us having many coworkers who were interested, knowing that we go to conferences and enjoy the Lord, wanting to get into the Word. So every week, we would get together and we would get into the Bible one chapter at a time. In the last year and a half, we've gone through the books of Matthew, Romans, and we're now in John. And I just have to testify that I feel the Lord is really doing something, even in the workplaces here in the United States. Even in a small way, we have a core group of a few saints who pray every single week, but we've had more than 25 different saints, new ones, coworkers pass through our Bible studies. One of them is now meeting with us in San Francisco regularly. Another got connected with the saints in Newton. But I just feel we just present ourselves to the Lord.
Amen.
Lord, may all our time, whether it's in the church life, whether it's in our workplaces, may it be useful to the Lord.
Amen.
Our primary occupation is that we are priests to our God.
Amen.
We want to be those who can be pleasing to Him,
right,
who can present Him offerings that would satisfy Him.
Amen.
Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. My name is Don Togisala. I'm a church in Roner Park in the North Bay. And I was touched from the Working Saints Retreat in a lot of ways. And the message from this morning really touched me and confirmed about our time with the Lord. Very crucial, very vital to have our time with the Lord. And I wanted to share this verse from the Working Saints Retreat, 1 John 1:6. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and are not practicing the truth. So when we have fellowship with the Lord, we're having that intimate time, that intimate personal time with Him. And we, the brother Manuro shared with us that we want to see His face in that time. We want to have that personal touch. And that's how we get the truth in us. And that truth we need in us so that we don't walk in the darkness. We don't want to be with those that walk in the darkness. As in Galatians 5:16, it says, walk by the Spirit and you shall by no means fulfill the lust of the flesh. we in ourselves get distracted by many things. We need to turn. And in those distractions, we turn to the Lord. If we say we have fellowship and we practice, our practice needs to match our vision. And this practice needs to be a habitual practice. We were given practical points in the sense of legal, in the sense of having a schedule. And follow that schedule so that you do spend your time. If you don't have a schedule, you will not spend time. You got to spend your time. And that time needs to be intimate and personal. My experience, because I speak to myself, because I can be distracted by many things. But my experience, because I'm in school, full-time work and full-time school, there has been three occasions where I stopped and spent an hour of praying with the Lord, confessing of all my iniquities, all my transgressions, all my blockage. And then I would read a chapter, and I was totally filled for a full day after that. So that time is precious, and the Lord wants to be with us. He wants that time with us. So I would just encourage that we, from the message this morning that was spoken about spending time, that is our time with the Lord, because we need to redeem the time, because the time is short. Amen.
Amen. I want to follow my brothers who talked about the Bible study at Google, in the sense that I've also been recently appreciating that we really are priests, right? We're priests not only during the meetings, but we're priests also at work, at home. There is no separation of church life and work life, right? That is just the church life. And especially that these priests are those who have the ephod and the breastplate. These are priests who are bearing the saints and the believers on their hearts. And it's you know, sometimes you might think that actually it's quite a bit of a burden to have to take care of a new one. But actually, you know, in my experience, it's been such a blessing. It's been such a salvation, also to yourself. At our Bible study, we had a new one who was Catholic. And a while ago, you know, I approached them and said, hey, you know, did you come to our Bible study? Would you like to pray? I think it was on Wednesdays, every day on Wednesdays. And it's been such a salvation to me. And I recently realized it was such a salvation to him. He actually just left the company, but he wrote me a letter when he left. He's saying, so he told me, like, Victor, when you first approached me asking me to pray with you, I scoffed. And I thought, oh, you know, this is such a silly thing. But then, you know, I decided to do it. And I just have to confess, it was so precious to me. And so, saints, I mean, in our workplace, we have so many people around us. We have so many people that you might think are not seeking, but actually they are, or they could be, right? Reach out to them, you know, ask them if you want to pray, if they're open. And, you know, you'll find that you will be supplied. You'll find that that saint might be supplied. I just want to testify that, you know, it's such a great thing to really bring your church life to work as well. Even in SF, right, for a lot of people are moving into kind of our localities. Even our home meetings, you know, there's no separation between work and our home meetings. You can bring the saints from work to your home meetings. You can keep shepherding them there. So we really need to have the saints on our hearts. We need to have a heart for these people. And that's what the Lord is after.
Amen. Praise the Lord for this gathering. So I went to the Working Saints Retreat along with Brother Minoru's talk last week, and two points were very touching for me. The first one was on praising the Lord and singing. So we are made in God's likeness, right? And he loves to hear praise as much as we do, if not even more. So saints, we must praise him every day as much as we can, and we need to do it in a sincere way to exercise our spirits, to feel in our hearts, and let our spirit guide us in praising him. For me, too often I find myself thanking the Lord for the great things that he does for us and for myself, my family, but it's hard for me to find an easy way to praise him, right? Because a lot of the times, it's just almost like we're using praise as an acknowledgement. Praise the Lord, right? But the second part of praising is an aspect of understanding. We have to understand what we're praising him for. So I encourage you saints to, when you say praise the Lord, to think about what you're praising him for. The second thing I would like to share about is singing. And from a personal testimony, before I was saved in college, a lot of friends took me to church and prayed for me. And it was a Christian sister that actually finally made a statement to me that I found that was very, very profound. And it was very similar to the lines of what Brother Minoru shared last Sunday. And she had said, the hymns and the singing, it's a love song back to the Lord. The Lord loves us immensely. And when we sing, we're singing our love back to him, to reflect it back to him. Needless to say, I was saved shortly after that statement that she gave me. And to paraphrase Brother Minoru, let's be encouraged and find inspiration in our hymnals. Let that be our stepping stone into finding praise for the Lord and singing his love back to him.
Amen. I moved to the Bay Area a little over 3 months ago and started meeting with the saints in the church in Burlingame. I wanted to share my experiences on companionship and serving the young people. Earlier this year, in around March, I read a portion in the Holy Word from Morning Revival titled "The Church as the Temple of God" that really stuck out to me. It says, "The degree to which we can be one with the saints depends upon the growth in life we have. We may be one with certain saints that you are close to, but if you do not have the proper growth in life, you will not be able to be one with the saints in another locality if you move there. At the time I read this, I knew that I would be moving away and joining a new locality, and I really had the burden to have this growth in life so that I could be one with the saints wherever I go. The more we grow in life, the more we are built. If you have the real growth in life, you will be built together with others from others whom you have not met before. Upon moving to NorCal, there were so many riches to partake in, like the Labor Day Conference, the YP Conference, the Working Saints Retreat, and the once-a-month Working Saints Fellowship Meetings. From these conferences, I was reminded of the foundational habits that we need and had a renewed and fresh appreciation for the Word and ministry. The Word is the face of God. Saints, don't you want to see God? You need to read His Word. I'm very thankful for all the saints in Burlingame who have opened their homes and their schedules to spend time with me. With one sister, I pray with twice a week in the morning. With another, I also pray with twice a week in the morning and read a message of life study a week. And on Tuesdays, we have a sister's meeting during lunch with those that work in the same area, and we read through a ministry book. And with many, I also am serving with the young people. I have been so very supplied and built up with the saints. My second experience I would like to share is regarding the young people. After the YP conference in October, I was driving down with my YP, and one of them brought up that we should pray for our drive down. As we started to pray, we were turned to our spirit. And each one had a friend that they were burdened for to get saved. So each one shared our name, and we started to pray for each friend. This experience was so real and genuine. I realized that I am functioning with these young people. These young people are functioning vessels, functioning members of the body, and these young people are building up the body of Christ. I really would like to encourage not just the parents who have children, but particularly the single working saints to reach out to a YP in your locality. Get to know them and show them how normal it is to pursue the Lord, how normal it is to grow in life, because you're much cooler than their parents, and they will be much more willing to fellowship with you.
You know, we'll cut down the time to 1.5 minutes, 90 seconds.
Amen. Praise the Lord, saints. Well, I want to share my experience and my journey with the Lord from the past 2 years. And 2 years ago, is I got saved, so I've been in the recovery for 2 years. And the Lord's been so sweet, enjoying Him every morning. And this is by reading the Word. Daily, learning to chew on the Word, learning to masticate, and also companionships. I couldn't be here without companions, and also just being around the saints. That's been a big supply to me. Also, a year ago, we got me and my family got burdened to open our home to care for the children. The Lord gave us a couple of families to care for, and that's been a big supply to me. But because the children's meetings are so simple, the songs are so simple, they're easy to learn, and it's the most time when I'm exposed of my shortness, of being patient, not having any faithfulness. But the children's meeting's been one of my biggest supplies, but also we couldn't have done it without the saints. The this this is a whole body matter. And the Lord daily is opening my eyes to see more and more of the body and how it this is a benefit for the body. Praise the Lord.
Amen, saints. I'm just here to encourage you, all the working ones, that doesn't matter, you know, even though we have a job, we can still enter into the labor of the gospel. And, you know, at my work, you know, we have a Bible study. And, well, I started a Bible study, and we have a lot of, you know, when I'm at my work, I just ask the Lord, you know, Lord, I want to have a new one to take care of. You know, I'm here because of you. And the Lord is very sovereign. And actually, I didn't even do that much. I just show up at work, and then this one of my coworkers, he asked me, you know, we were just having a conversation, and he said, oh, hey, you know, he's on the dating side, and he said, you know, a lot of profiles, he saw these profiles, you know, they say my favorite book is the Bible. And he just said, he told me that there's no way I'm ever going to put that, you know, there's no way I can put Bible as my favorite book. And then I just told him, I tell him, hey, if you give me a few months, I'll make that your favorite book. And that's how the Bible study started. So it just started to get into the Bible. And after a few weeks, you know, he just go around, he invited all his friends to come to the Bible study. And we went through the Gospel of John, the Book of Romans, and a little bit of Genesis. And at some point, you know, we're having Bible studies 4 to 5 days a week. That means like almost every single day during lunchtime. I mean, we're just reading through the Bible. And I didn't even do that much. I just showed up. We just had a conversation, and the Bible study came out. A few months ago, Bible study ended, and I just asked the Lord, Lord, what should I do now? And the Lord just lead me to have lunch with my coworkers, and so from there, you know, I have a lot of opportunities to just share the gospel with all my coworkers. So I just want to encourage you, saints, that we can all be priests of the gospel. Amen. We can all preach gospel to our coworkers.
Amen. Wrap it up. And also, before you begin, it would be good if you mention your name and the locality you're from. So just to introduce yourself.
Hi, saints. My name is Molly. I'm from the church in San Diego. I'm currently a PhD student studying at UC San Diego. My major is electrical engineering. So hopefully after graduation, I might be working in the Bay Area. Who knows? So as a PhD student, previously I always stay up late because it can be really stressful with research. And every Friday, I need to have a one-on-one meeting with my advisor. So every Thursday night is the most stressful night during the week. And I used to just to bring my sleeping bag and then spend the whole night in the lab. But the Lord gradually touched me. He said, oh, this is not how you should do your research with me. That's not my way. So he started to touch my daily schedule. So according to his way, every day I go back to home before 5 p.m. And then my coworkers start to wonder how come this student she can go home so early. And then I always tell them I even go home without bringing my laptop. So I'm telling them I'm not bringing my work home. And then they'll ask me what do you do if you go home so early. I'll tell them I go to all these church meetings, and then even though they won't say something, they won't ask me why do you go to this many church meetings, but apparently there's some impact on them because the Lord really blessed me also on my research. Amen. And also because I'm a teaching assistant, it really makes it easy for me to contact the students and bring them to the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm Sarah. I meet in Pleasant Hill. We went to the Young Working Saints retreat and closer. All right. I just wanted to, I feel like the brother spoke not doctrine, but experience and straight to our hearts. He said two things that captured me, and one was a heart that doesn't have a sensation to be satisfied by the Lord is not right. And then don't drift into a perpetual superficial Christian experience in routine or duty. And I felt like that at that moment that was where I was in my walk with the Lord. There's so many people looking at me right now. Okay, so since then, I wanted to seek the Lord's face and have a one-on-one time with him, which is hard having a two-year-old and a four-year-old always on you. And then having an open home and having the saints come over, I don't want to feed them something of myself. So it pushes me to seek the Lord in a real way and for myself to choose the word. And I was just really chewing over this Proverbs verse 4, 20 to 22. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are the life to those who find them and the healing to their flesh.
Amen. Hey, saints. My name is Joe Chen, and I'm a postdoctoral researcher at UC Berkeley. And I moved out here about a year ago and finally joined the working world, so that's exciting. But when I tell people that I'm a postdoctoral researcher, they're like, oh, you're in school again. But I'm like, no, I'm working. I've been in school for a long time, but I'm finally working. So praise the Lord. But I think one thing I've learned since starting to work is just, it's busy. Like, life is busy. And unfortunately, it doesn't seem like it's slowing down any. And I think the older you get, the more busy you're going to be. And so I just had the consideration, in the midst of this busyness, what are we going to do? How do we overcome this? And how do we still maintain a vital Christian living in the midst of the busy season? And I'm sure a lot of us can relate to that. And in the Bay Area, we've really benefited from Brother Minora's coming and sharing these 10 points of vital Christian living. And I just, like the brother shared, brought up, I just wanted to share one experience I had with just one of the points. And it's actually the first point, which says, call upon the Lord deeply and affectionately for 2 or 3 minutes after rising up. And so there's two things that really stood out to me in the practice of this. One is the phrase after rising up. And I don't know what happens in most of these saints. Oh, well, I don't have much time. But after rising up, what I tend to do is, you know, I might snooze a couple times, but then I'm on social media, maybe I'm swiping, you know, and checking my feeds. And in that moment, there's a little bit of portion of me that's occupied by these things. And so I just really appreciated practicing putting those things away. Amen. After rising up, and I really appreciate Brother Monroe said, there's actually this thing called a top portion of our time.
Amen.
When I consider time, I just think it's all the same. But in fact, there's a top portion of our time when it pertains to the Lord, and it's the first moment that we wake up. And in that moment, I just appreciate touching the Lord by calling.
Amen. Amen.
Reduce right now to 1 minute, and no more coming up.
I'm JD from Pleasant Hill, and at the Working Saints Retreat, I really, really enjoyed about how there's all these screens of our life. My time with the Lord in the morning got to be, how can I shove it in before I take my kids to school, go to work? And he talked about having like 5 different screens and you shut them all off and have just the one of the Lord and have FaceTime with the Lord. And so I've started seeking more intimacy with the Lord. And it's pretty amazing. Instead of putting other things, oh, got to do this. And a section in the ministry from the outline I really enjoyed was the main function of the Bible is to impart God into us as life and as nourishment of life. Sorry, it's easier to read like this. It is not only to give us knowledge about God and his love, but to impart God himself into us. Whenever we read the Bible, we should not merely try to know or understand it, but take something of God's essence into us, just as we take our food. Then, like food, the substance will be assimilated into our very being.
Amen.
Amen. Hi, saints. My name is David Liu from the church in Berkeley. At the retreat, Brother Manoah asked us a question. He said, since college or since the training, how much has your seeking increased? And when he asked that question, I was really exposed because personally, my seeking, I'm not sure if it increased after the training. And as many as I shared, it's very easy to be busybody and just doing things in the church life, but not really having our seeking grow deeper. And I was reminded by these verses in Matthew 8. This disciple said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. But Jesus said to him, follow me and let the dead bury their own dead. And the principle here is that we shouldn't wait for things to settle down to follow the Lord, because there's never a good time to really follow the Lord. There's never a convenient time to follow the Lord. So we need to take the opportunity right now, no matter what our situation is, to follow the Lord. And this choice may seem very personal, but it actually affects the whole body. So maybe I'll go on.
I also appreciate that we shouldn't just be seeking just to follow the motions. You know, whether we go to the young people meeting, the prayer meeting, the home meeting, the Lord's table, we shouldn't just be going there, but our heart should be going there to open to the Lord.
Amen.
And just one of the things that was touched about 6 months ago was that, you know, I was going to the young people meeting when it was convenient for me, when I had time. But I realized the Lord needs someone who's consistent and someone who's persistent with the young people. And so I realized, Lord, I'll go to the young people meeting whether I have time or not. I'll make the time. And I realized how precious they are to the Lord. Another thing that I appreciate was that, you know, this conference is on the body, right? The main point of the Bible is the body. And so in order to experience the body, we need to have the experience in the locality, but we also need to have experience with our companions. Oh, Lord, amen. So one phrase, let the Lord have the body. You know, amen. We're the ones stopping the Lord from getting his body.
Amen.
My name is Mimi Doherty from Morgan Hill. This is Joanna Coloso from Ronan Park. This is Sepphire from San Jose. We were asked to join a research team for the refugees and go on a distribution trip. And, you know, all I knew of refugees was like this was something, a problem far away. And, you know, I saw that image, but it had nothing to do with me. It had nothing to do with the church, you know. But I realized that, you know, there's a verse in Jonah. It says, and I, should I not have pity on Nineveh, the great city in which are more than 120,000 people who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and many, many cattle. So these were refugees that God cared about. These were people, a people that had never heard the gospel. And God has a heart for every man to be saved. And these people are going to Europe where they could potentially be the lampstands for Europe to bring the Lord back. And so, you know, having this burden, oh, Lord. Anyways, Lord Jesus, I went on distribution trip, and it was just the best thing. I can't really finish this.
I would just add that, you know, we all have complicated and intermixed situations. And within those situations, we can take the opportunity to just open to the Lord.
Amen.
And for some of us, those situations may be that you're between jobs. And it's a really good opportunity to serve. And that's sort of how I came into this service. And what I appreciate about the Lord, you know, activating each one of us is that there's the possibility for companionship in a practical way.
Amen.
There's also a way for the Lord to push and enlarge your capacity, because when you're serving, there's you see how much need there is and how short you are, and you just are forced to open to the Lord and be under his light. So we never know how our situations may turn out to be a blessing for us.
Amen.
And you may just have an opening in your schedule. It may be your vacation, but just consider, you know, a distribution trip or a gospel trip.
Amen.
Right. Many times the Lord comes to us in a very unexpected way. We may not have all the best opportunities in life, but all he wants from us is just our openness. And also, Joanna shared, the Lord really operates today through the companionship, through the build it, coordinate, the priesthood. And I was privileged that while I was away to Far East for my medical treatment for the past 5 months, I get to pray with the sisters over Skype. Brothers and sisters, you can do this. And I also pray with the saints in Norway and Sweden. So through such a prayer and fellowship coordination, the Lord was able to move. And we really see what the Lord wants to gain in this year among the refugees really relate to his interest and his heart's desire to gain his testimony. Oh, may we all open to the Lord and let the Lord really work in us.
Amen. Amen.
I'm a sister from church in Davis. Actually, I'm not a working saint, but I just graduated from UC Davis. I want to share some experience about how to transit from a student to a function body in the church and how to transit from a served one to a serving one. So the first thing I want to share is about the primary principle of serving others. So this is the takeaway message. You might pay attention. And the many times you will find out many people say, oh, I am weak, how I can serve other people. But I want to use my own story as a testimony deal with that, because I'm an international student. I have many things going on. But then I realized, how can I serve others while I have many troubles? But then Lord just make me see a vision that the flowing water is like, the more you serve, the more you are giving, the more you can be given by God, and the more you can be strengthened by God. So I was really touched by that vision, and I got like my spirit was burning, and I got to serve others. And the second one is really quick, like 10 seconds. So the result is actually very good, and I'm really joyful. Like, I'm speaking for the Chinese speaking saints. We have 13 young saints coming to this conference, and 7 of them were saved by this quarter. So it's really amazing. And I have a lot of experience and strategies, and I'm happy to share with you. And I'm welcome to fellowship. I'm happy to fellowship with you later.
Amen. Amen. My name is John. I'm from the church in Mountain View, and I'm a working full-timer. And, you know, among really the work, service, and, you know, gospel preaching, I think the first and very foremost is that really we need to spend time in the King's inner chambers, our Lord's inner chambers, to spend, intimate, affectionate, hidden, and secret time with Him. And so in order to do that, you know, we really need to know how can we touch Christ? How can we find Christ? And that's really... And according to Matthew 2 and 2 Peter 1:19, it's by the star, which the living star of Christ, or the morning star, which is just Christ himself in our spirit, and also the word of prophecy, the prophetic word. And so really, we just need to be filled in spirit and be inhabited by the word. And so my own experience is that previously I used to dread and neglect doing morning revival. But recently, through Brother Minoru's exhorting and really his fellowship, perfecting and training of us, the working saints, I really exercised to spend a time to have face time with the Lord morning by morning. Amen. It's a really revived and fresh appreciation of really to spend time with the Lord in the morning. Amen. And really, Brother Minoru's fellowship has impacted me so much. So no matter how busy I am, I try to set apart half an hour, an hour. I wake up earlier just to start my morning by calling on the name of the Lord. Amen. Even my eyes aren't open yet. I just, right when I come to conscious, just call on the name of the Lord. Amen. And then, to have FaceTime, you must not have something blocking or some sort of hindrance. So I would just really repent and confess. Amen. In a life study of Ezekiel, we saw that there's the clear sky and the expanse. In order to have to touch the throne, you must have this clear sky. And then I call on the Lord's name for 2 to 3 minutes, and sometimes even as long as 15 minutes. Then I just sing. I sing to whet my appetite. Oh, morning star, spring forth my heart center as we attend on thy prophetic word. Glow as a lamp amidst apostate darkness,
until the morn arrives in all the earth. Just this kind of singing really whets your appetite. And then you just want to begin to read. You just sung about the prophetic word. Then why not read the prophetic word? Amen. And then, you know, sometimes you read like a one chapter or even 1 to 2 pages. You know, we don't have to be legal about it, but make it a legality. You know, morning by morning, we just wake up to the Lord to spend face time with Him.
Amen. My name is Jonah. I'm working in a meeting in San Jose. I just would like to share my top enjoyments recently. I also enjoy very much just calling on His name when I wake up, and also in my prayer time with my companions. You know, I usually would just start with just calling on His name, and then if I don't feel like I touch Him, I would just. This is what I've been practicing. Sometimes I fail, but just keep calling until you really get into your spirit. And sometimes with my I kind of insist on just calling on His name in our prayer time with my companion. Sometimes we just spend like a lot of time just on calling on His name. And I personally think I feel like it's okay, because even though we don't get to pray much, but we really will have His presence. And then having His presence is, you know, is like Brother Manoj shared with us previously, is the biggest blessing that we can ever have. Amen. And I also would like to share about coming to the Word with the conscious that we are beholding the Lord's face. You know, before I would just read the Word because I feel like, you know, in the Bible it says, God bless those who read the word, the scripture, right? So I would just do it to get the minimal blessing. But then my recent revelation has changed my kind of mindset a bit. Now I would come to the word, and then I would just, you know, try to really imagine and try to really get into my spirit to see that this is really the Lord's face that I'm looking at. You know, if you really love the Lord, if I really love my mom, when I see my mom, I wouldn't be just, hey, mom, you know, make my breakfast, but I would like to talk to Him. And then, so when I read the word, I would really like to talk to the Lord and do prayers.
Amen. Yeah, saints, because of time, how about we cut it down to 30 seconds? So just give us your top portion. Amen.
Amen. So I've been really recovered by my time going out on a gospel with my companions. Sorry, my name is David Choi from Church of God in Cupertino. We have a Danza College right next door, and I go out with a couple other brothers. And when my heart is cold and I tell the unbeliever how great of a Savior I have, my heart is restored. And saints, it's like almost like being at a meeting for the gathering for the baptism. When we see someone getting saved, our heart is excited. It doesn't benefit us directly or technically, but somehow God is happy in our spirit. So we know that this is how He's going to build, and when this is prevailing culture among us, we will be irresistible to Him. Amen. And He will come back to His ready bride.
Amen. I'm Alan from San Jose, working and meeting there. And I've enjoyed recently that this matter of practicing the companion prayers in twos or threes. And through these weekly companion prayers, to really enter into a coordination and the labor for the Lord's move locally in this area. I feel like through these companion prayers in twos or threes, you know, I feel like I'm starting to get a sense, you know, not just with my wife, but with these ones that I've been praying with, that, you know, if the Lord asks in the New Jerusalem, who are you built with, right? I'm beginning to get that sensation. I know who I am built up with. Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord, saints. My name is Jeb from the church in Berkeley. I was really helped by the Working Saints retreat a few weeks ago, just by my time with the Lord in the morning being revolutionized. Just because I know how to give an opening or closing word in the morning, it makes me think that every week I need to be able to do that in the morning. I need to study the word. I need to be able to regurgitate the ministry. But I was really helped by the speaking that the time in the morning is not necessarily to study the Holy Word for morning revival. It's not even to be revived necessarily, because that's me-centric. But the time with the Lord is just the time in the morning to spend time with the Lord. Amen. You don't even need to read the whole thing. Just spend some time with the Word. The verses themselves, just, oh, saints, my testimony is I haven't had time with the Lord in such a personal way, but then, like I have since then, just by pray reading the verses. Amen.
Not even doing the reading, just pre-reading the verses.
Praise the Lord. Because thank you for the church. Thank you for the body. Thank you for the university body. Because my situation today changed. I'm so happy. That's why I spend time, not in the morning, lunch time, and evening. And sometimes 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock. I don't care. God do everything. I thank you, Brother Lee, get the morning revival. Like a homework. You more come to the world. You more like water, like watch you. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. My name is Tobia Bossaday from the church in San Francisco, and I want to share in the matter of having to practice what you hear. Philippians 4:9 tells us that the things which you have also learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. All that we have heard and seen, we need to be those that are faithful to practice. The smallest unit in the body of Christ is the individual. So really, everything does begin with your individual time with the Lord. And I want to share a little bit about my faithfulness to practice what I've heard, especially being bold in the workplace. I did speak to a few coworkers about what I do and who I am as a believer. And actually, two of them have been coming to our Bible study and are meeting with us regularly. So if you're faithful to practice what you hear and see, the Lord will bless you.
Amen. Amen. My name is Derek, and I'm from the church in Phoenix. This last year, I've been learning how to work and labor on the campus, especially in the matter of taking care of new ones. Someone and I met this new one on campus, and I told the Lord, if you keep this one open to me, I will meet with him every week. And of course, the only time he could meet was in the middle of the day and in the middle of the week. But I just realized that it is a blessing that the Lord gives us these new ones, and we need to be those who honor this blessing. So every week I go to work, then I go to campus, and I go back to work. And even though it's just 1 hour that we can meet with him, it is a blessing that the Lord brings these ones to us, and we could dispense what we have received from Christ to these ones.
My name is Joy. I'm from church in Washington, D.C., and I enjoyed recently that in the midst of chaos, I have a family and I work full-time, but in the midst of chaos, there is a divine economy. And to do everything unto the perfecting of the saints, unto the work of the ministry, unto the building up of the body of Christ.
Amen. Hi, my name is Jean. I came from church in Mountain View. I'm so happy to be here. And thank you, Lord, for giving me this time to share my experience. From the working centuries, I gain a lot. How to handle Word of God means how to be a healthy Christian, how to search the God's presence for me. And we need to be healthy. We need to have to keep the body health, we need to have 3 meals a day. Like, to keep our spiritual life healthy, we need to do the morning revival every day. We need to give the Lord time at a specific time every day. We need to read the Bible, and we not only to do the prayer reading for the Bible, because we need to chew the words. We need to search the God's light from the words. But we also to be like the Mary. We need to be mused on the God's words, because we need to listen to the God's, like the Mary. She's humble. She's listening. She's just focused on the God. And sometimes we are really busy on the servings. We are really busy on our church life and also for our daily life. But sometimes we need to give the Lord some time to pray, to waiting for his response, waiting for his feedback. So like there's last three focuses I want to share is how to recover our Christian life. Is the first one is give the Lord time. Second is fellowship with him, communicate with him. Third is to search the God's presence. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Okay. Saints, it's a joy to be here with you. I'm Jim Miller. I'm in the church in San Francisco, and I serve among the working saints. And many of you I've served many years ago when you were not working. You were just, I don't know what you were doing, right? You're okay. And it's a delight to see you here. And as the backbone in the Lord's recovery.
Amen.
You know, there's a certain time in a we liken the Christian life and the progress of the Lord's recovery to a race. And during that race, of course, there are the relays, right? When you one generation does not finish this race. And on Thursday night, Ron said a word very briefly that made us consider that maybe we're in for a long run. When I was first came into the church life, I recall, Minoru probably does too, at the summer training, I believe it was in Los Angeles, 1972 or 3. I believe it was Brother Lee's expectation at that time that the Lord would come back in about 13 years. He used that figure. He was hoping for that. And of course, 13 years passed, and another 13 years, and another 13 years. And we find ourselves where we are today. And it's all a matter of our growth in life and our being prepared, being made ready, and our preparing ourselves as the bride, right? And we know that this is not a quick process. So really the matter of the timing of the Lord's coming is very unknown, very mysterious. We don't know when the Lord will be satisfied with what he sees on the earth. We don't know when his heart will respond to our call to come, Lord Jesus. But I appreciate the focus of this weekend here with all of us on the direction of the Lord's move, right? Helping us to see both the extrinsic, the outward, the practices, right, of the church life that we are endeavoring to carry out, right? The priesthood of the gospel, right? We have many wonderful testimonies about our priestly service in our working environment, right? And I just enjoy all of them. And then our shepherding of these ones we bring to the Lord. And I would say shepherding is not something you can do in a large meeting or even in a small meeting. Shepherding is one by one. One by one, and it takes time. It takes time. It takes endurance, right? And then our perfecting the saints to serve in the God-ordained ministry, and then eventually to prophesy. We have meetings of mutual speaking, but I think we all would recognize or would agree prophesying as it is in the scripture, prophesying to speak for God, to speak God, to speak forth God is still a goal where we are striving to attain. Right? But all of these things, helpfully we're seeing, are not just to be active, not just to, and then we can easily pull in, just gain more people. What we need is more people. What we need is more new ones. What we need is more activity. We need to spread. We need to move. We need to, sure we do. We do. And the Lord will increase. The Lord will spread. The Lord is moving. But what we need an equal amount of attention paid to is our life in the Lord, right? Is our organic, personal, what are the words? Personal, spiritual, and private, and affectionate. I think affectionate is number two, right? Saints, check with yourself, I would say. I'm checking with myself. Check with yourself. And to me, and then after last night's message and this morning's, I just felt, my goodness, here are nearly 3,000 people in this auditorium, in this massive place, and we're all just under the Lord's cherishing, speaking, right? We're really being courted by the Lord. I don't know if there's ever been a gathering of that size and of that depth and fineness of utterance, and we're a blessed people. So I would just, what my takeaway so far is, I need to spend time. I desperately need to spend more time.
Amen.
Quality time.
Amen.
Uncluttered time to be with the Lord. You know, the biggest problem that we confront, or a big problem often confronted in marriage life, is spending time. Right? I think the brothers, the sisters feel that more than the brothers do, I think. But anyway, it's always a, you know, where's my husband? I'm a church life widow now, right? A lot of times the sisters have the gift of waiting, right? The Lord graces them to sit there in the meeting hall until it's over, and the shepherd and the fellowship. We're very busy, so we don't spend enough time, right? In our own familial environment, right? To meet the need. Well, that's because the Lord, can you imagine how the Lord feels? This one who has paid a price for us, and yet we lack the sense of our need to spend time with Him. I don't know. We're not very sensitive about that. But I believe the Lord's heart is being open to us, open to all of you. I say as never before, subjectively and practically, to spend time, take time to be with the Lord.
Amen.
If that's lacking, everything else will disappear. Or everything else will become laborious, hard to do. I don't know if I'm cut out for this church life. The brothers started off by saying Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, whatever happened to family night, right? Friday, Saturday, Lord, oh, and then we have a training on the Lord's Day evening, right? Well, it's not gonna change. We're not gonna figure out in this age of you know, building the better mousetrap or finding the better some type of, you know, solution to some common problem. There's no solution. There's no solution to the problem of your time and your family's needs and your all these things. The solution is take time to be with the Lord, right?
Amen. Amen.
Spend time with the Lord.
Amen.
Even as Brother Ron encouraged us some years ago, he said, I came to the conclusion, I need to spend time with the Lord. And then I told the Lord, Lord, I don't know how to spend time with you. First of all, you're invisible. I'm visible. Right? And we have a lot of differences with the Lord. But the Lord, nonetheless, is calling you.
Amen.
Personally.
Amen.
And I would say persistently.
Amen.
To take time. There's a hymn that says, take time to behold Him. Right? That's a very dear hymn. This is the need. This is the universal need in the body of Christ, to become the bride of Christ,
amen,
and eventually become that bridal army that brings in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
He just wants us to spend time with Him.
Amen.
Uncluttered, it's the word I'm looking for, with no other reason,
amen,
than to be with Him.
Amen.
And allow Him to be with us.
Amen.
This is His heart's desire, right? So I'd say that's my takeaway. I hope if anything will touch us, and we'll, you know, a brother Liu Sui, he's from the Far East, and I knew him for many years, and he always said, when you go away from a conference, the Lord must gain you in one thing. Don't just get a lot of light and get a lot of stirred up. It says, no, the Lord has to occupy you or gain ground in you in one way.
Amen.
Maybe that's in your contact with the Lord in the Word. Maybe that's with your spending time to call on the Lord. Anyway, the Lord is very practical. He wants us to spend our time.
Amen.
Not our time, you could say our time with Him, our time on Him. We have to learn to be with the Lord.
Amen.
And time spent in this way will reap its reward.
Amen.
right, to the church life in which all of you are, and for the sake of the building up of the body of Christ and the preparation of the bride. So I'll just turn the mic over to our brother Monero.
So I'm going to sing to you. So, because these days I'm into singing and writing hymns, and so I just finished another one. It's like it's not coming fast enough. You can find it now.
Yeah.
Okay. Get into your
website, norcalworkingsaints.org. norcalworkingsaints.org. And on the home page, there is a link to hymn number 4.
Will they crash the site so many people did not? So, while you're looking, this is my fourth hymn in the last 8 weeks. And, of course, I wrote it for my own enjoyment, you may say. But I also have been writing this with you under my consideration, this generation. We have songs for every time and every season and every generation. And I think for this generation, we need our own songs. We need our own hymns. And this is only to stir you up that maybe you can write some for singing to the Lord. It's not about how beautiful they are and how impressive they are. It's about a relationship.
Amen.
We sing because we love. We don't care who hears them as long as he heard it. So have you found it? There's a new hymn called Write Thou on Me, Dear Lord, Thy Name. Do you find that?
Yes.
Now you can also access the other oath, the other three hymns, right? This inspiration came to me 2 weeks ago, and I was in a conference in Vancouver, BC, Canada, where I was giving a word, repeating a message from the recent ITERO meeting in Australia. And that is a word on Philadelphia. You know, the Lord speaking to the church in Philadelphia in Revelation 3, where to the overcomers in that church, he promised that he will give him three names.
Amen.
Number one, the name of God. And number two, the name of the New Jerusalem. And number three, his new name. Mm. And these three names are to be written upon them, the overcomers. Then from that, of course, I remember the other two places or three places in Revelation where the writing of the Lord's name on us is mentioned. One of them is his word to one of the earlier churches of the seven. He said he will give us a white stone. Am I right? And on the stone is a what? Is a new name written on it. So you have that. And that stone actually refers to actually us who have been transformed by the Lord in our experience. And there's the writing of a name on that stone, some carvings, some insculpting of a new name on that stone. This is not a stone without a name. This stone has a name. Now, I'm not into these New Mexico stuff, you know, talking to rocks and things, but this stone does have a name, a new name that the Lord has written on it that no man knows, no one knows, except the one who receives it. There's another verse, I believe, in chapter 14, 1, about the first fruits on the glassy sea. These overcomers, they also have the Lord's name written on their forehead. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. They are the undefiled virgins purchased by his own blood among men. These are the followers of the Lord. The third and the last one is, of course, in the last chapter of Revelation 22, where it says, those blessed ones who are the dwellers in this holy city, their name, his name, will be on their forehead.
Amen.
And that is the name of God and of the Lamb.
Amen.
So these verses came rapidly to me and inspired me very, very deeply. And so when you inspire, you just have to write. So here's the hymn. Do you know this hymn, number 555, 35? A very, very wonderful hymn. Do you know? You sure you can play? Because sometimes when the accompaniment is not good, I'd rather we sing a cappella. But if you can play, then you can play it once for us. A hymn that we all know, the song, but with these new words. Can you play it once? You know this. Tender. The first verse is just a general start about the Lord writing the name on us. And you will see throughout this hymn is the high peak of the divine revelation.
Amen.
This writing of someone else's name on your forehead means you have become identical.
Amen.
That means God has become us and we have become God.
Amen.
Otherwise, his name would not be written on our being. And the second one is on the name of God, verse 2. Verse 3 is on that hidden name that no one knows except the recipient of the stone. And number 4 is the new name. There's a new name that is going to be written on us. Number 5, the name of the city of the New Jerusalem. Number 6, the name of the Lamb. The name of the Lamb. And finally, the name, the blessed name of the Lord again, as a kind of a conclusion. All right, I'd like you all to sing this with depth, with feeling. Even though it's for the first time, I'd like you to enjoy it.
Amen.
Amen. The first time always doesn't get that far. So I'm going to have us sing again.
Amen.
All right?
Amen.
How come the last verse, it's like some of you dropped off? Huh? It's not on the website? Oops. Huh? It doesn't show up on the phone. Only on some of the phones. So I'm going to give it to you. Let me read it to you. And I'm going to have one change there. Write thou on me thy treasured name, comma, mingled with thee, dash, my blessed aim, semicolon. Thy spirit not fills but seals my every part, comma. Thy word inscribes thee on my heart, period. Make home in me, comma, thus I in thee, exclamation point, till I am thee and thou art me. So if the Lord writes his name on here, that means that's me. Am I right? So this is a beautiful, beautiful sign of God's economy, of this uniting, blending, and incorporating of God and man.
Amen.
And brothers and sisters, why do we need to spend time with the Lord? In the end, it is so that he can become us and we can become him.
Amen.
It is not even just so that we have a good time, a spiritual time, a happy time, which are all wonderful byproducts, if you will. But the essential thing of a time of depth, a time in the chamber, a time in the closet, of these moments and seasons with the Lord in great privacy between you and Him. It's for something to take place, something that is the most important thing in this universe to take place. And that is God becoming another man a little bit more. And that man is becoming God a little bit more. That takes place in these secret moments, brothers and sisters. So our time with the Lord is non-optional. We have no choice. If we wish, if we mean business, that we are here for the Lord and for His interest, we have to spend time. We have to fight for that time. Amen. We have to live for that time, and we have to die for that time. Amen. Nothing will replace that time. Amen. And that time should always be growing, increasing, enlarging in all four dimensions. Right? Didn't Ron talk about this in the first meeting? In breadth, in length, in depth, in height. That's when the four square city of New Jerusalem is worked into us.
Amen.
So let's sing it again. Not just because I wrote it, I said, but you need to sing it again to enter into the feeling of this song. So I would like to, again, because seven verses, that the brothers will sing verse one. All right, sister? A lot of feeling.
Right thou on me, dear Lord, thy name, that we be one soul. I impress myself, my Lord, in my fear, I bend it low. Soak me with her.
About 20 minutes, and I guarantee you I will end in 20 minutes. Otherwise, you can sound the fire alarm. Get me out of here. The last, this verse, I was inspired to make it practical. So I said, thy spirit seals, not fills, you can change that later on, thy spirit seals my every part, thy word inscribes thee on my heart. I'd like to say something here, brothers and sisters, and that is, first, of course, I'm so watered by all your testimonies this afternoon, not only those from the Bay Area, but all of you. To me, those are all very, very vital signs of shoots, of growth, of something of the Lord's merciful and gracious work in your generation today, to make you all living and functioning believers unto the building up of his body in various local churches. Of course, we like to see more, but I think you are a good representation of many hundreds of more of working saints who are doing the same thing. And I like to encourage you to do more, to make a difference, as they say in the world, but not in the Silicon Valley way, you know, to do a startup or something. But I do mean to change the universe as his dispensational instruments, which the Lord needs to accomplish these three directions: build up the body, prepare the bride, and to bring in the kingdom. Dispensational instruments are needed, and you are that. You are that, those instruments for this age. Now, with this background and the burden this afternoon on time with the Lord, I would just stress practically these two things. Number one, the Spirit. And number two, the Word. Brothers, when we talk about being with the Lord and fellowshipping with the Lord and so on and so forth, to be beautified by the Lord, all these things, I will tell you the critical, I wouldn't say tools, but the critical factors are simply these two, both of which are actually God himself. Amen. Both of which are holy, both of which in essence is the Lord himself. Amen. First of all, the Spirit. Why? Because today, God is no longer some being up in heaven. He is today not even a man on the earth. He is today our dear life-giving Spirit. Amen. And today, to access him, to fellowship with him, to have something to do with him, you have no other way but to know him as the Spirit. There is a section on experiencing Christ in our hymnal. I think the first few hymns are all, many of those, a number of those were written actually by Brother Watchman Nee concerning Christ being the Spirit. Very tender hymns, very, very wonderful hymns. Please take a look and sing them. Dear brothers and sisters, the recovery of this truth of the Lord is the Spirit is a grand recovery. We are so blessed to know this truth. Today, there's no other way to access God, to touch the Lord, except to experience the Spirit.
Amen.
He is the Spirit today.
Amen.
Our dear triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit is the Spirit today.
Amen.
And what do we need, brothers and sisters? We just need to be filled with the Spirit.
Amen.
As a simple vessel, as a human vessel with a heart and a spirit and all the various parts within us, it's made for only one reason. And that reason is to contain the Spirit.
Amen.
So let us be those wise virgins. You know, those five wise virgins. They not only have their lamp lit, that means they were regenerated. But the difference is that in this age, they have their vessel filled. Filled with what? Filled with this life-giving Spirit. That means the Spirit is not just contained in their spirit, but it spread, it grew, it spilled over, it moved, it migrated to all the parts of their being. And that is their inner man, their soul, their mind, their emotion and will. So I would say whenever we're with the Lord, just throw yourself open wide your mind and say, Lord, fill my mind.
Amen.
That's very, very practical.
Amen.
Lord, fill my emotions.
Amen.
Lord, fill my will.
Amen.
Right? You know, we have that hymn, what, Lord, transform us, right? That hymn, talking about all these three parts needing to be filled. And the word in Ephesians is be filled in spirit.
Amen.
If there's one commandment by the apostle, and that would be this one, be filled in spirit.
Amen.
Don't be drunk with all the worldly things, your job, your career, your family, your children, lovely as they are, wonderful as they are. Don't take me wrong. I love even my grandchildren, right? I adore them. But, dear saints, in the end, we need to be filled with the Lord first.
Amen.
We need to be flooded by Him.
Amen.
We need to be permeated by the Lord.
Amen.
And there's no other way to do that except you spend time face to face with Him.
Amen.
Go and get filled.
Amen.
I tell you, the gospel will follow. The shepherding will come out.
Amen.
The church life will be there.
Amen.
And not just there in a kind of rote way, but there in a powerful way.
Amen.
In a dynamic way.
Amen.
Because we all have become living.
Amen.
We all have become Spirit-filled believers.
Amen.
We have become God-filled, God-flooded Christians.
Amen.
I tell you, don't you think things will happen?
Amen.
In our workplace, on our campus, in our family?
Amen.
You're saying, don't worry about that.
Amen.
Just get filled.
Amen.
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 Fill with the Spirit.
Amen.
Fill me now. Fill me now.
Amen.
Fill me with thy Spirit. Amen. Now. Just sing that to the Lord.
Amen.
Right? And in the morning, I'm breathing.
Amen.
Right? Breathe your Spirit in. Oh, dear Spirit, fill me.
Amen.
You don't need to make up your mind. You don't need to change yourself. You don't need to adjust. You know, there's two kinds of beautifying. One is the real kind, you know. There's other kind that the people in the mortuary does. They also beautify. You know, they paint, you know. But we're not that.
Amen.
Right? We're here to be livingly beautified.
Amen.
And there's no better cosmetic sister than a brand called the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
the best moisturizer, the best de-wrinkler, the best cream. And it's not going to look green on your face, right? I tell you, this spirit will make you young. This spirit will make you living.
Amen.
This spirit will make you active.
Amen.
This spirit will sustain you
Amen.
In all the circumstances. It's real. It's real. It will make you bear fruit. It will make you care for people. They will all come as a result. But the second thing, I must finish quickly now with the other 10 minutes at the most, is the Word. We not only have the Holy Spirit, which is the Lord Himself, we also have the Holy Word, the essence of which is also the Lord Himself, because His name is the Word of God. That's why in the retreat, we say when you come to the Word, it is coming to a person whose name is the Word. You're not just coming to a book. You're not just coming to get some information. You come here to meet some person. Every time you crack open the Word, whether to pray, to read, or to study, I tell you, you are with the Lord again.
Amen.
So treasure that time.
Amen.
I mean, this Bible, oh, brothers and sisters, this Bible. There's no way that we become overcomers without the Word.
Amen.
Even this morning in the outline, you will see about the queen or about beautifying, there's one line that says, to be with the Lord in the Word.
Amen.
It's not just the Holy Spirit cream. We have the Holy Word, lotion, huh? And when you put these two together, my goodness, you will become absolutely gorgeous. Even the bridegroom will say, girl, you are gorgeous. I mean, to his bride. We better slap a lot of this on us in this age. Every day, you know, nowadays I heard the cosmetics for men is climbing. Almost half and half with the women, you know, men cosmetics. It's a big industry, right? Well, certainly men, we need cosmetic. Well, not cosmetics. We need beautification, divine beautification. And I am here hawking. I'm here giving out free samples of Holy Spirit cream and Holy Word lotion, and you must use the two in parallel.
Amen.
You cannot just apply one.
Amen.
You have to apply both.
Amen.
And apply them daily.
Amen.
And apply them the first thing in the morning.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Just apply that. Apply the Holy Spirit and take in that Holy Word. Oh, brothers, I don't know what to tell you. We need the Word. How can a Christian go without the Word? How can anyone who says, I love the Lord and not keep His commandments? How can we say we want to be the overcomer? But who will not die because of the Word of His testimony? Brothers and sisters, the Word is critical. Let us not be wordless Christians anymore.
Amen.
Let us be wordful Christians.
Amen.
We cannot live a day without the Word.
Amen.
We cannot even live a minute without the Word.
Amen.
Maybe we don't have the Logos Word opened in front of us, but we have the Rhema Word
Amen.
Emanating from within.
Amen.
Due to the deposit of the Logos Word within us,
Amen.
Which we have turned through prayer into Rhema.
Amen.
So, saints, I tell you, that's an overcoming believer.
Amen.
Full of the Word and full of the Spirit.
Amen.
And so, to Philadelphia, he prays them and says, you have a little power, but you have what? Kept my word and not deny my name. I believe that name refers to the Spirit.
Amen.
Right? No man can say, Lord Jesus, except in the Holy Spirit. Every time when we say that name with earnestness, with sincerity, in truth, in genuineness, I tell you, brothers and sisters, at that moment, you get the Spirit.
Amen.
Because the Spirit is the person of that name.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Lord Jesus. I get the Spirit.
Amen.
I get the person.
Amen.
That's why when you get up 2-3 minutes, don't do anything. Just call.
Amen.
And call out loud.
Amen.
I don't think your wife would mind. She shouldn't mind. I don't think your husband should mind. Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Lord Jesus. And don't just call 2 or 3 times, call 2 or 3 minutes until you touch that person.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
Then you take the word, not in a dead way, but just take the verses. You don't need to read the holy word. You can read it another time. Just take the pure word and begin to muse upon it. Begin
Amen.
to pray over it,
Amen.
to speak with it,
Amen.
to psalm with it,
Amen.
To do something with it,
Amen.
With the word. I don't care what you do. You just do something with the word and let that word inhabit you richly.
Amen.
Then you can just go up to your breakfast, go up to your work, filled with the Spirit and full of the word.
Amen.
You're ready to take on the world.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
You're ready to go about things. You're ready to serve the Lord.
Amen.
You're ready to overcome.
Amen.
You're saints, this is our life.
Amen.
And I'd like to end with just making a sales pitch. You know, I have to make a sales pitch. And that is the announcement this morning at the end by Brother Gary, his first announcement. Listen, I have good news. We got a hot off the press whole Bible. It's not 3 pounds, it's more like 2 pounds. Because it has no footnotes, but it has the outline. The outline of every book is kept there, and also some footnotes related to language, not the other footnotes. You know why you need to get this? Because this is a Bible. You need many Bibles. This one is to be on your bedside for your reading.
Amen.
It's not for study. It's for your reading. You won't be get into any footnotes. You just read. And brothers and sisters, promise me to read the word every day.
Amen.
I don't care you understand, you don't understand. Just because you read that word, you honor God.
Amen.
And you will be blessed.
Amen.
The more the world, society says, get rid of the Bible, the more we say, we need a few more Bibles.
Amen.
In fact, we're going to read it.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
Okay, go and buy that Bible. Now, I'm not from LSM, so I have no commission here, okay? I'm just burdened. You go get that Bible. That Bible is how much? Did you find out?
$42.
Now, $42. Okay, how much is a latte? Starbucks latte? Well, not the fancy kind, just a regular kind. $3 to $4. $3 to $4. All right? $4. Let's say you get one a day. 10 days. It's $40. $40. I think you can handle 10 days without coffee, at least without Starbucks coffee. You can make your own. I think it'll make you healthier, actually. You're saying 10 days of fasting on Starbucks coffee, you will pay for this new, wonderful recovery version Bible.
Amen.
All right. That means tonight, before the meeting, 1 hour, the book room is open. After the meeting is open for an hour, you're all going to be there and buy it all up.
Amen.
And I'm going to let you go with this. You didn't bring cash. You can use Apple Pay. No, they don't have Apple Pay. There must be a way. Borrow money, okay? Just beg for some money and go get your Bible. You say, I have a number of Bibles ready. Get this one. All right, and get one for your friend while you're there.
Amen.
Meaning your husband, your wife, and some brother, and so forth. They will thank you for it.
Amen.
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 I really mean it, brothers and sisters. This is even your praying Bible.
Amen.
You don't even have the footnotes. You just pray the word. And this is your reading Bible. Put it next to your nightstand. And never let leave it. Never let it out of your sight. Okay? When you get up, I tell you, the first thing is the word. When you go to bed, the last thing is the word.
Amen.
The word is our bookend. The bookends of our daily life.
Amen.
In this way, brothers and sisters, we mean business. We're here for the preparation of the bride.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit cream and the Holy Word lotion. Hallelujah. Okay, I think that's all I have. Perfect, it's 5 p.m. Okay, I think that's a quick announcement and we'll be gone.
Quick. Saints, how about we just pray with our neighbor over the word that we received?
Amen.
Saints. Yeah, lastly, before we dismiss, for those who are not familiar, especially if you're outside of Northern California, if you want to access some of the messages from the recent Working Saints retreat in Northern California, and also the four hymns that Brother Minoru wrote, you can go to this website, norcalworkingsaints.org, norcalworkingsaints.org. So, saints, we can be dismissed.
Amen. Amen.